What's up, guys? This is Danny from Rethink Peer-to-Peer Lending. Welcome back to yet another interview on my channel. Today, I'm at the office of Mintos, and alongside me, an old friend, so to say, Martin Schulte, CEO of Mintos. Thanks for having me in the office today, Martin. We have a little bit of a time rush since you're about to catch your flight to Copenhagen, so let's not waste any more time. In the beginning, I have prepared a small game, if you don't mind. It's a format where I start a sentence and you are supposed to answer in a timely manner, very quick, and the first thing that come to your mind. You're up for it?
Yeah, let's go. Right.
Let's do it. Okay, number one. One thing I wish I knew before Mintos is?
Start earlier.
My favorite lending company on Mintos is?
Eleving.
The risk management on Mintos prior pandemic was?
Fine.
My conversations with Aigas Kesenfels mostly revolve around?
Results, like very rarely.
What happened to Finco is a good example of?
Random things happening and then blowing out of the proportion.
Affiliated lending companies on Mintos are?
Very few, if at all.
My favorite asset class on Mintos is?
Fractional bonds.
One thing I would change about Mintos is?
Nothing.
One mistake that Mintos did in the past was?
One of many.
I will part ways with Mintos if?
When we stop innovating and doing new things.
My favorite peer-to-peer platform apart from Mintos is?
Mintos.
Apart from Mintos?
The only one I've used is Estate Guru, so I can talk only about them.
All right. Yeah, all right.
So you have all the front-loaded questions already out there.
Now it comes to the easy part. I have prepared a couple of questions to evaluate the current status sure. of Mintos and what's going on. And maybe just to jump right into it, where do you personally see the company at this point in time? What's the status quo?
Sure. I mean, look, it's been a huge turning point for us when we get the license. So today we are fully licensed under the MiFID regulation, which is actually the cornerstone of financial regulation in Europe is MiFID. So we are investment firm under the MiFID. So that was a huge milestone for us to reach and also changed quite a lot about the Mintos journey. So one is that we were finally able to put all the loan investments in a regulated setup, and that actually, while on the surface investors not going to see that much difference, which is great, but then if the shit hits the fan, then actually that's like huge difference. So we do have to keep the minimum capital for the wind down plans, we do have to have the wind down plan itself, we do have to do the information sharing, certain kind of transparency rules, we have to like huge one is that we can segregate the assets. So most of the all of the unregulated platforms, actually they are not segregating the assets which are invested assets and the platform assets, and that's a big thing if something happens, because then you're just going to be one of the creditors in the company if something happens to the unregulated platform. So that was one part, and the other part is that we can now offer other financial products, other things to invest in, which we have worked quite a bit on. So we launched ETFs, we did launch fractional bonds, we launched rental real estate, and then actually as we speak, so we're gonna launch Mintos Smart Cash, which is about money market funds. So all those things combined, then we can give investors a very well rounded portfolio which they can build on Mintos. So all in all have been quite a lot of change, especially in the last last year.
Back in the days, Mintos was always like having this claim of, okay, we're a global marketplace for investing in loans. And now, as you just mentioned, there's like, let's say, a shift towards a multi-asset platform with different financial assets. Where do you see now the strategic focus, so to say, of the company? Is it really like going towards all asset classes, or where do you see like maybe where you maybe tailor your offer a bit more in the future?
I think at the end of the day, we cater to our investors. So what we do see that where we can bring values, especially for those investors who want to invest in the long term and who actually want to focus on passive income, actually getting some interest every month or every quarter. So out of our five offerings, four are passive income options. So it's loans, bonds, rental, real estate, and money market funds. So those actually, and then of course you want to top it up by the ETFs, or actually ETFs should be your foundation of the portfolio. So our focus is, of course, to build the experience so that investors can build a well-diversified portfolio. And sure, if we offer asset classes, different asset classes, we're going to focus on them as well. So we're not just launching the asset class and then just leaving it as aside. So we have also grown the team quite a bit. So we actually grew from something like 120 people last year to 180 now. So for each asset class, we do have a proper team which is looking after that. So our focus is definitely on overall experience, but then also within each asset class, so that we can provide better user experience, provide better investment experience, and in general cater to our investors.
Mm. Now, you mentioned already the different asset classes, loans, bonds, ETFs. Now, Minto Smart Cash is about to launch. What else is there? The real estate offer. Are there any other asset classes in the making right now? Do you feel like you want to expand also on the vertical side?
No. I mean, look, we launched we had loans like 6 months ago. We were offering only loans. Today we offer five different asset classes. So we have launched what we wanted to launch. And to be honest, if you look from the asset classes out there, there's not many left. So it's basically the largest asset class which you have is real estate, then the second one is bonds and equities, equal share. Then you have gonna have the same private debt, which we cover through loans, and then cash is obviously, you could argue, is the asset class in itself. What's left then is short crypto. At some moment might make sense to add crypto as well. Other than that, you are already entering very, very alternative space like arts, cars, wine, something which are very niche and small assets. And that's also when we think about how to build Mintos, is that we can offer to retail investors most of the key asset classes on one platform, so that they don't have to manage multiple platforms. Sure, if you want to invest specifically in just ETFs, there's going to be better place perhaps just to go to invest in ETFs if you want to have just ETF, or you want to, I don't know, trade in stocks. So Mintos is not about trading, it's more about long-term investing. So I think those asset classes are limited, and we have covered, there's a limited number of asset classes, and we have covered the major ones, and there's not much left.
Mm. Where do you personally see, or as a company, see the biggest growth potential from which asset class?
Today, fractional bonds, definitely fractional bonds. We see there's a the market itself is structurally not in a good shape. As a retail investor, it's actually very hard to get to those fractional bonds. We see now some platforms already offering, Mintos are offering fractional bonds. Then, of course, you see the same Trade Republic, you've seen the Revolut launch the bonds. But the other side, like retail investors, like we're talking about thousands, like millions of customers, so they're not going to go through like one platform. And then the structurally, it's very hard for retail investors to actually get access to those bonds from reasonable amounts. So usually it's going to, like in many cases, actually 100K, yes, in some cases, maybe 10K the minimum, and some, yes, it's 1,000K, 1,000 euros, but otherwise it's really hard. So fractional bonds for sure is something that we see. But I would, all the asset classes which we add, all the assets, we are pretty bullish about them. So ETFs definitely should be a foundation of the portfolio. Real estate, huge asset class, also very hard to tap into as a retail investor. So you usually need to have quite a bit of capital and then time to manage those rental real estate projects, and then cash is perhaps easier to get into these days.
How will your original asset class investments and loans, how will this kind of financial instruments stack up against all those other assets? What's your prediction?
Sure, of course, like if we come from 100% of the portfolio, so today we are managing or we have been under administration more than 600 million euros in assets. Most of that, like half a year was 100% was in loans. Today that is shrinking and that's going to continue shrinking as other assets pick up. If you look in the loan space, definitely very interesting, but it is very alternative thing as well. So it's not that, for instance, if you look at the real estate, we are talking about perhaps like billions, if not tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions of potential market. For loans, it is limited. So we see, yes, for the current, from the current, say 400 something million, what we have plus overdue payments, so we can grow it, I don't know, two times, maybe three times. For that. It's not that it's going to be kind of tens of billions in loans. Especially if we talk about high yield loans. If we talk more about corporate loans, then sure, it's much, much larger, but then already mean to suffering most likely would not really work that well.
I mean, when we see it in perspective to other asset classes, of course, the percentage is going to shrink, but in absolute numbers, do you see a downshift in the loan offering on the platform?
No, it's definitely, we continue investing. So we now are gathering the hunting team and they are going out into the market. So just last week, we had a team in Mexico, we had a team in Indonesia. So definitely there is still plenty of loans. I'm more referring to the next like 3 to 5 years. In the medium term, sure, investors are going to see more lending companies, more established lending companies, which is also what we have changed the focus is to focus on larger lending companies. And there are like the minimums we have raised forever, but now we are already quite set minimums what we want to see for the lending companies to have as a book. And there's still quite a lot, but of course, if you compare loans to ETFs, well, you cannot compare ETFs is this and loans is
sure. But if we just look isolated on the lending business, what are your internal targets in terms of attracting new lending companies? Which kind of volume do you anticipate from them? Just walk me through your ideas of how you want to structure, let's say, growing also the lending business.
So it's basically some limitations in investor demand. So how much the investor demand would make sense for us now to put, 400 million of loans. So that's not going to be funded. So we have to manage both sides so that the investor side is growing and then the loan supply side. Today, on Mint is definitely the constraint is the supply side. So if you go Mint, like there's barely loans to invest in. So we have done good work on the investor side. There's definitely demand. Now we are catching up with the supply side. So for the coming, we are basically planning, I would say, like 4 quarters in advance. So for now, we know, okay, what is the pipeline for the next year. So we do see good pipeline of 15 plus lending companies in that. Not all of them we're going to close, not all of them going to appear on Mintus, but it is a good pipeline and that's going to be a good addition to the supply, which should be enough for the demand what we see on the investor side.
So far, I would say from the previous months, there hasn't been a lot of new onboardings on the lender side. What would you say are the biggest difficulties in that regard?
I think we started too late to re-engage in those discussions. So the process to connect a lending company today is quite long. So it's not that we can connect it in a few weeks time, so it's usually like few months time, so because we have to do the legal setup, we do the risk assessment, then we do have to write the prospectus, which is then confirmed by the Bank of Latvia as our regulator, so there's many more things which we have to go through to connect the lending company. So we started too late, I guess, after the regulatory process finished last August when we basically passported the license. We just were a bit, like a few months too late to get new lending companies on board. It should change now in the coming months. There's a good pipeline and there should be more lending companies.
From your experience, what is the sales cycle roughly from, getting out in the market to finally have a lending company visible with assets on the platform?
3 to 6 months. If the lending company is very committed, we can do it maybe a bit less than 3 months. But yeah, I would say 3 months. But usually the it takes like between 3 and 6 because lending company also, it's one of the projects for them. So they are not 100% all the resource focused on getting another funding source. But it is 3 to 6 months.
Mm. What is the progress in terms of recovering defaulted loans?
Overall, it's been steady and happening. Obviously, it takes time. So if you look at the overall, then we have recovered already almost half of the portfolio, which was at exposure, so which is great. But of course, it's still many of the processes are yet to finish, and we are yet to see kind of the final results. And that also explains when you look at the recovery cases that we are not closing down those. So we're not going to close the case if we see that there's still a reasonable chance to recover something. And with many, we actually have recovered 100% of the exposure, with some less, and we actually did the charge-offs. But for most of them, they're still process, and those processes take time. So that's unfortunately with the recoveries, they take time, and those amounts are not small amounts. So we're not talking about like small loan which defaulted and it's like, I know, 100,000 K or like half a million. So in some cases, unfortunately, we're talking about like millions and 5 million and 10 million plus, and those cases take time.
Hmm. Mintos used to have regular Ask Mintos Anything sessions, particular about the recovery status. Why hasn't there, let's say, no more frequent updates about it?
Because I guess only you joined, so and maybe a few more investors, basically, but we been asked also to the feedback. So and also from the numbers and engagements, we saw that the cost what goes into those sessions, setting them up, like getting the questions and so forth, preparing for them in live format as well, is huge. And then we see maybe a few hundred investors watching the Ask Me Anything. And then if you compare it to, if you contrast this few hundred, or maybe at best I think we saw like 1,000 investors watch the Ask Me Anything, but then we do have more than 200,000 funded accounts. So we are reaching maybe like 0.5% of investors through those. So what we switched to, and also reacted to the investor feedback, we switched to the written format, and we provide the written updates.
Hmm. Can you talk about how many resources you allocate currently for the recovery progress and the collection?
It's both internal, so we do have the legal team, so we actually have a sizable legal team internal of 7 people, so some of them are working quite a bit on recoveries, and then we do have outsourced legal help as well, so there's for each case there is basically a small team which is working on that. But of course this this work is not that you have to work, like there's not things happening every day, right? So there is, I know, the court case next month, so you have to prepare for that. There is some documents you have to submit. You submit those, but it's not that like every day in and out you are touching the case.
Do you just have internal staff that is managing the collection, or is there also like external partners that you work with?
All external. We actually spend a lot on legal fees ourselves, so we, most of the cases we have external legal help on the ground, because from here we can in a way orchestrate them, but on the ground we need legal help. So legal expenses are actually quite significant expense what we have.
Can you talk specific numbers, let's say for last year, top of your head?
Top of my head would be between half a million to a million we spent on legal fees.
Mm-hmm. Right. I want to point out or talk about one particular defaulted lender, Quico, the biggest defaulted lending company on Mintos, roughly 42 million at risk, defaulted in June 2022. Can you, from your perspective, talk about what went wrong with Quico?
Russia. I mean, that's the only thing I can say is basically they're acting in bad faith and just took advantage of the situation as a fully Russia-based company, so just decided not to pay. And well, while you can try to prepare for the situations, you never know, like when the shock moment comes, how people gonna react. And well, we saw that those people who are leading the organization are actually taking advantage of the situation and acting in a bad faith.
Hmm. the last...
It was a surprise actually to us, because they were super reasonable like guys, like one of the largest companies in the space in Russia, and like rationally it doesn't make sense what they're doing, but well, that's their approach.
The last public update I saw on Mintos was it's almost a year ago. I'm not sure if affected investors are in a more frequent exchange, but the last thing I saw from my research, not being affected with the Quico case, maybe that's why, but what I found on the Mintos blog was about a year ago, Quico was converting the Mintos debt to a non-interest bearing bond. Without any consent or knowledge from Mintos side, what happened in that last 12 months? What's the last update you can share?
Well, the last I can share is that we are working on the case. So it is a complicated case. So it's, like Russia in itself is not easy, especially these days, to do business there. So we can share very little. So we have help there to deal with the case. Not much we can share about on top of what we have shared already. So it is ongoing process. It's going to take time. We are confident that we're going to have recoveries. It's not going to be 100% recoveries for sure, that we know today, but there's going to be sizable recoveries. But it is quite engaging process. And given, of course, all the Russia war, which complicates the process even more, it is taking time.
What is your current prediction in terms of how many funds can be recovered?
I don't know.
Or what's the range at least?
I don't know, top of my head. So I would have to refer to the document which we publish on the website.
All right. Let's talk about fractional bonds. You mentioned in the beginning it's your favorite asset class or Mintos. Why is that?
It's more from the product perspective. What I think that we have with the setup, what we have, both legal and technology setup, we can actually open up this asset class. So I'm actually super excited that we can open something which was not really open to the retail investors. And that is what we see, that there's a lot of interest from retail investors to invest in fractional bonds. That's one part. And the other part is that by fractional bonds, of course, those fractional bonds, what we started with is lending companies, what we have already. But then that's only entry point. So the bond market is obviously much more than the lending companies. So, and we have already listed quite a few which are not lending companies. So that also opens up the diversification for investors. So we had the jewelry company, we had the production company. Now today we launched agriculture company. So there is much more opportunities for investors to invest in different sectors of the economy.
What is the issued bond volume so far on Mintos?
So far we have funded close to 20 million euros in bonds.
What do you think is the target for this year?
Well, it's the bond market is it's hard to basically draw your plans too far, because the bond market is usually that the companies decide on the bond like half a year before that they're going to need the bond, and then they need financing, and then they look what are the options. So they maybe go to the bank, they talk with their investment bankers who run the bond issue. So it's hard to plan too much ahead, but we definitely see that the volume is going to grow in more so in the multiples than in the percentages.
What is the service fee that you charge?
We don't charge a fee to the investors.
Not for investors, but for the company.
On the side, so we work as a basically distribution channel for the issuers, and then we charge the same fees what in those distribution channels would get from the issuer banks.
How would lending companies assess whether they issue bonds or loans on Mintos? And do you consult in a way, or?
Well, definitely we consult, sure. I mean, especially for some VR, like large funding partners through loans. But then what they see, the lending companies, that you do have loans as one of the funding sources through Mintos, and then bonds, they treat differently, because also for the bonds, that you have other investors who come through the bonds. Bonds have a different maturity, different kind of payment terms and everything. So for loans, it's more flexible thing for them to use, so they can manage like fund more, fund less. But if it's a bonds, while the benefit is that you have it locked in for a longer period of time, the downside is that you get all the money like in today. So you have to be a bit, you cannot plan it as flexibly as with loans. So we see that the lending companies and what they value also with Mintos is that we can offer different products for them how to fund the portfolios.
Hmm. A couple of questions regarding your ETF product, which you launched last year in December. Why would investors choose to open up an ETF portfolio through Mintos instead of other European brokers?
Hmm. I think one of the things is as simple as that we are charging zero fees. There's no fees to invest in ETFs, and we give you a well diversified portfolio, so you don't have to build it yourself. So this value which we put on the table is usually you're not going to get for free. So usually you would pay some fee, and those fees add up, especially in the long term. So that's number one, like zero fees. The other one is the product, how we have built it, that it is well diversified. You have both like equity ETFs, you have government bond ETFs, corporate bond ETFs, some cash allocation, which sure, granted, you could get also in some other places. So, and the third one is that you can do everything on one platform, so you don't have to manage multiple platforms, which I think as we go we're going to see more and more AML KYC things popping up across not popping up but like becoming stronger AML and KYC requirements across Europe, which is like trend which is gonna is already happening and just gonna get stronger, so that they can manage on one platform, so you don't have to reply the same questions to multiple platforms where your money comes from, what is source of funds and so forth.
You mentioned that you don't charge investors using your ETF portfolio. How do you monetize the product?
We do not, so it's basically we are running at close to zero cost to us as well, so there's not much cost involved apart from the product development, and then we are able to earn from cross-selling other assets. So usually investors gonna either invest in loans or they invest in bonds, or maybe they keep some cash available, so we can charge, we get fees from other basically sources.
Hmm. How many investors are currently using your ETF product?
We're not going to share kind of exact numbers, but it's a good percentage of the total, basically, active investors.
Okay. What's the amount of active investors right now while we're at it?
So what we have is funded accounts. So this is basically how many investors do you have at least some money on the Mintos, and we have more than 220,000 funded accounts today.
Okay. So that have money on their accounts, but not considering they made any transactions in the past 12 months or...
Sure, yeah, they have some money, but they very rarely gonna keep just money on Mintos and doing nothing, right? So it doesn't make sense. So usually they will have had invested in loans or then in bonds or ETFs or real estate. Mm-hmm. So very rarely you're gonna see somebody who's just like keeping cash on Mintos.
Well, or just asking, like, let's say in my case, if I'm considered an active investor, I haven't facilitated any investments in the past 3 to 4 years, have some funds in recovery, so there's some money in my account somewhere lingering around, and there's maybe €5 that I haven't withdrawn yet, so
yep.
That's considered an active
funded account. Yep.
Okay. And the last thing to wrap up the ETF part, I was wondering, all the assets that you offer are basically cash flow based, aside from your ETF portfolio where you only offer non-distributing dividend payouts. Why is that? And is that about to change in the future?
It's very much driven by the tax consideration. So if you look across Europe, then the most tax efficient portfolios like ETFs to invest in are accumulating. Like distributing are like handful countries where actually distributing makes sense. In general, it can and most likely will change. So as we develop the product, so we launched it in a very MVP, minimum viable product manner. And already now in the next few weeks, there's going to be more kind of massive change to the user experience and and then the product for ETFs, and we're going to continue developing. So for sure, we don't see that there's always going to be just one type of product for ETFs. So there's going to be more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the tax motive is the primary reason.
Yeah, sure.
All right, and the last chapter, Mintos Smart Cash, something that's about to launch fairly soon, and maybe by the time the video goes live, will already be on the platform. Can you talk about what it is about, why you launched it, a couple key facts?
Yeah. So we are launching it tomorrow. So so basically, what it's going to be is this Mintos Smart Cash is a cash management in a way solution. So what it means that we're going to offer you to invest in a BlackRock managed money market fund. And as a product, how it works is actually fairly simple. So you're going to get close to the European Central Bank key interest rate, which today is like 3.75%. And then as opposed to, like, if you put the money now in deposits, then first of all, you are not getting actually close to the key interest rate. Usually you get less. And then for deposits, you have to lock your money for quite some time. With Mintos Smart Cash, first you get close to the ECB rate, and second, your money is instant liquidity, so you can access it at any moment.
Hmm. Okay, so the expected return for Mintos Smart Cash will be close to the ECB
rate?
Close
to 3.75% today. Yeah.
Mm. And how's the daily liquidity insured?
So this is through the BlackRock managed fund. So BlackRock is the largest asset manager in the world. It's like 10 trillion plus assets what they're managing. And then this Euro-based money market fund is like 55 billion money market fund. So the money market fund where they invest, they also do invest in the same government bond. They do invest in big bank deposits. So you're basically getting the same exposure, but it is packaged as a kind of fund. So it's technically an investment. Mm-hmm. And you get daily liquidity because the fund is huge and they have like a redemption policy that they can provide liquidity, and they manage this liquidity on their side as a BlackRock. So I'm super excited that we can actually bring such huge fund to investors because you previously most of us, we actually could not access the money market funds. So you had to have, I think for BlackRock, the minimum was like 20 million investment or 50 million. Mm-hmm. It's like even for small businesses, it's not reachable. Today we can again lower the barrier and you will be able to invest or basically park your money with Mintos Smart Cash starting from 1 euro.
And how did you manage to access the fund, the money market fund?
Just establishing direct relationship with BlackRock. So, yeah.
Can you talk about details in terms of like how much volume there is kind of like from Mintos side insured to be part of the fund? Or what are the requirements in a way?
Well, how they look at it is, of course, that we are a distributor of their fund in a way. So they look at, well, you have those 220 plus thousand funded accounts, and there is some assumption how many cash they're going to allocate. And what we do see that this product also should most likely for many investors will be a product which they use also just by transferring money, more money to Mintos because they see that they can actually get instant liquidity. And they kind of like these days, there's very few places where you can get access to the money market funds. So there should be plenty of influx, but let's see how it goes. So it's hard to put the numbers. They are very theoretical today. But if you look at our size, it's like good size already for the BlackRock as well.
Mm. How are the underlying assets protected?
So the underlying assets is obviously you are investing in, first of all, it's BlackRock managed. So BlackRock is managing the assets. So this fund is investing in corporate bonds, like very like AAA. So the fund itself is AAA fund. So it's as high risk rating as you can get as a AAA fund. They are investing in government bonds. They are investing in deposits, and then in some corporate bonds as well they might invest. And then the protection on top of that is that there comes this investor protection scheme in play as well. So up to 20,000 euros are protected under the investor protection scheme if something happens to Mintos, for instance.
Mm. Do you charge anything to investors accessing the fund?
Yes, we're going to charge like small 0.19% fee to access the fund.
Mm. deposit, withdrawal fee, nothing?
Nothing. It's basically just one simple small fee to cover our costs, and basically investors get close to the ECB rate.
And due to the size of the fund and the access you have to it, there's a daily liquidity insured from your side?
Yeah, it's daily. It's not even daily, it's instant. So we will manage, because we are keeping also other cash, which is not invested, so we are keeping also in the fund, so we can manage actually instantly.
Ah, so have you used the market money fund also for non-invested funds from investor accounts?
Yes, one of the businesses is that's also changes the regulated platform, so we can actually use the money which is not invested, because it's segregated, and there are rules which you have to follow from the Bank of Latvia, that we can put those funds into like very low risk, like the lowest risk instruments. And one of those is we are putting in deposits, we're putting in the same money market, so we are managing those funds for sure. Mm.
When have you been using this particular money market fund by BlackRock?
Yes.
For your company purposes, when did it start?
Yeah, we have since we got the regulation regulated.
Hmm. All right. What's your forecast in terms of the volume you will attract from investor side?
Hard to forecast. I don't know, because we haven't really seen like what is a real activity, so we have to see. Even if we see like 1-3 days of activity, then we can do a bit better forecast. But if you ask me, I would say definitely should be in tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, we should get pretty soon. And that's what we have seen with other platforms. There's been some numbers, what we have seen, some of the UK platforms which launched kind of similar products, they got into the billions as well. So for sure, it's a great product. I mean, what's not to like about it? It's kind of zero, as close to zero risk as possible. It's AAA rated. It's a reasonably high interest rate, 3.75%, a bit less. And then it's instant liquidity. You cannot really get like such product in the market.
Mm. The ECB seems to, you know, lower the interest rates now, and there's a tendency also for future decreases. How do you think this will affect, let's say, the popularity of investors going into the fund instead of choosing other alternatives?
Sure, if the interest rates go again back to zero, then not really interesting, but as long as they are above zero, then the money market funds, like, more often than not gonna be above the deposits what you get. So you have to compare what are the alternatives. Sure, if interest rates go down to, I know, from 3.75 to 3.5, but then the whole economy goes down, then also your deposit rate is going to go down. So it's more about this difference between the money market fund and then like Minto Smart Cash offering, and then what are your best next alternatives. And they should, like, irrespective of the rate change, they're going to work in lockstep.
Mm. How will the funds automatically be invested into the fund from investors' accounts, or how does it work?
No, we cannot do that. So investors have to specifically agree that they want to transfer from cash into the money market fund.
Mm.
Because it's an investment you're buying, basically, making an like investment order.
So it will become an automatic, a manual investment, so to say. Will the interest be accrued daily, or how does it work?
Interest is accrued daily and then paid monthly.
Paid monthly. All right. Anything to add for the money market fund? What is worth pointing out?
Minto Smart Cash, definitely what we are excited that we can bring such a huge fund there's no easy access to. So that's, and to work together with BlackRock to some extent. So that's exciting. Otherwise, as I said, I think it's a great product for, be it your short-term cash management. So you have some cash, usually you have some cash somewhere available and you're just sitting there and you don't know what to do with that. You don't want to put it in deposit because the rate is maybe not what you want, but more so it's locked. So you can know, you have to plan too much ahead. Here it's instant liquidity and you get close to the rate what the banks are getting. And it is surprising that the banks, sure, they are paying less than ECB rate because they also want to make money, and then deposit rates are in a way banks are not paying to us customers as much as they should, most of the banks.
Hmm. And lastly, another question that came to my mind, why have you opted in particular for this money market fund Wasn't there maybe other alternatives on the table that have, let's say, an equal safety mechanism with good underlying assets, good liquidity, but maybe a slightly higher interest rate? Or why have you opted for this particular one? And have you dealt with other alternatives in the process?
When it comes to money market funds, and if you want to have AAA funds, then the interest rate is not going to be higher than your ECB rate, right? So because they are investing in underlying assets, such as the same deposits and the government bonds, so which are tied to the ECB rate. So the rate would, the question would go out of the equation. You cannot get even higher rate above the ECB rate. The other than the consideration of super senior, I mean, BlackRock, the largest asset manager, is 10 trillion plus assets what they manage. Why would you not work with them? The fees what they offer, because we can bring volume, are small. And then when it comes to the product, how we want to build, they offer everything what we want. It's kind of instant liquidity and like huge fund as well, which is a consideration. Like it's 55 billion fund. So all in all, in this money market fund, there's 55 billion invested already.
Sure. Just that you maybe want to compromise on the risk part and then on the other side offer a higher interest rate.
But it doesn't work with money market funds. So then it's not money market fund. Then it's already some sort of other fund, and it's not going to be your AAA fund, most likely.
All right. To wrap up our conversation, future outlook, what can you share? Aside from the launch of Mintos Smart Cash,
which is launching tomorrow. So basically, the outlook is fairly straightforward for us. So we worked in the last... In the last half year, we launched, but we've been working on these products for like a year or so. So now that we have reached some milestone, okay, now is the product what we want to see, like in terms of asset classes. But then what we're going to work is to make each of them by themselves better product experience. But then also work on experience so that we can offer that investors, when they come on Mintos, they don't have to go deep in each and every asset, and they can actually build a well-diversified portfolio with like a few clicks. And that portfolio gonna have you ETFs, gonna have you real estate, gonna have you bonds, gonna have you loans, gonna have your cash allocation, and that's already very well-diversified portfolio. So we're gonna work on the product experience for sure. And the other one is definitely what we are also now doing much more is, when we get the license, so we started to assemble the marketing team. So we built the team in Berlin. So we have team in Berlin now, and we're gonna focus on investor acquisition, which we have not done actually previously too much. So those are kind of the things which we're gonna focus in the short to medium term.
And banking license?
Not really. I mean, our focus is to solve the. What we see the problem out there in Europe is that people are not investing, and to solve that problem, you don't necessarily need the banking license. So I would not rule out, like never say never, but in the medium term, definitely don't see that happening. In long term, you never know. So you have to get to the long term to make those decisions first.
But not on the roadmap of Mintos?
No, not at all. I mean, look, well, the license which we have as a MiFID regulated investment firm gets as close to the banking license as it is. So basically, I would argue the banking license is short, the most strict, because you are basically, and it has to be, because you are taking the deposits from the retail clients, and then the governments are protecting those deposits, right? But then the investment firm license, what we have, is basically next strongest and most comprehensive license. We have to follow the same things what the banks follow when it comes to the information disclosures, about like doing the suitability assessment test, about doing the same asset segregations, like having a wind down plan. It's like a lot of things are happening which investors don't see at all, which is great, because you should not most likely be too bothered about with those small details when you want to just invest. But when something happens bad, then you know that there is a regulated platform with all the things set into the place. And well, of course, there have been cases when it also doesn't work, but overall, it's like good safety mechanism.
Martins, thank you for your time. Safe flight to Denmark.
Yeah, thanks
until
for
next
coming.
Time.
Yeah, likewise.